open up our hearts and let God come in. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now I'm going to read the focus verse again. That would be found in Colossians 1, 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Our focus thought for today, and his body, we must submit to the authority. As his body, we must submit to the authority and leadership of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, and I believe if there ever was a lying spirit in the world, there's one today. Amen. We can see what's happening to our government. Every time they open their mouth, they lie. And lies are accepted. Amen. We said, now when they say, well, I want to do this or I want to do that, we said, we'll see what you do when you get in there. We've accepted their lies. And we get that way to the things of the world. We get that way to the things of God. Amen. We have to look to God for all of the things that we need and all of the things that we want. Amen. He's a light into our path. Amen. Isn't that not right? A lamp into our feet. Amen. He leads our feet if we'll give him that control. And we have to give him that control. But I think about some of the things that's going on today, and they call it collusion. Well, I'm in the book of Colossians today, and there was collusion going on with the Colossians. It's not a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. Amen. Man, you know what? We want to do it our way. Amen. A song that was popular back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and right on up in today is I Did It My Way. You know why that's popular? Because man wants to do it his way. That's the natural man. We want to do things our way. Most of you know about King Ahab and Jehoshaphat. They had got together, and they were considering war against Ramoth-Gilead. And they wanted to find out if God would be okay with this. Amen. So Ahab called 400 of his prophets. And all four of them knew what Ahab wanted to hear. And they gave him what he wanted to hear. They said, oh, go, you will be victorious. God is with you. Jehoshaphat, he said, is there yet any other prophets? He says, I have one, Micaiah. And he said, that man don't never say anything good about me. Ahab said, don't let it be what you say. He said, bring him in. Let us hear him. He came in, and before he got there, he sent his officers to go fetch him, go bring him to where they was at. And the officer told him, he said, now, Micaiah, 400 prophets has already told Ahab what's going to happen. He said, now, it would be good for you and us if you would just go ahead and agree with them. He said, what I hear is what I'll speak. What I hear God say is what I'll say. But he came up, he got up before them, and he said, go ahead. I believe he was being sarcastic because Ahab saw it. He said, go ahead, God be with you. You'll be victorious. Kind of looked at him. Ahab did. He said, listen, how many times have I told you? Just tell me what God has told you. And he told him, he said, I see on the hills Israel all scattered without a shepherd. Without a master. He was telling him, you're going to lose, and not only are you going to lose, but you're going to die. He turned to Jehoshaphat and said, "Didn't I tell you? This man never has anything good to say." He said, "Take him back to the prison and give him bread and water. And when I come back, I'll deal with him." Micaiah said, "If you come back at all, God has not spoken to me. God's word will be his word, and it will come to pass whether we like it or whether we don't. God's word is going to be there." Amen. We may not like everything God says, but Psalms 119, 105 said, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." They have tried to take this word. There's been more lies told about this word than it has about any book in the world. Why? Because it's a perfect book being read by imperfect people. Amen. But there's no collusion going on here. Amen. This book was written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. Amen. And these people never heard of each other. They didn't know one another. And they couldn't get together and make anything up. But yet there was no mistakes in this Bible. No, not one. See, before there can be a collusion, there has to be an agreement with two people, the deceiver and the deceived. But in this Bible, these men didn't know each other. They couldn't have got together and compared notes. Then how is it that it all dovetails together? It all tells us about Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is and what he was coming for and who he was. It tells us all of these things. But we've got to do things according to God's way. Now, some of these stories I tell, most of you know them. But if you don't, I'm going to get to something. Just stay with me. Amen. But Saul, he was the first king. Israel decided they didn't want man, they didn't want God to lead them no more. They wanted a king. And Israel was the first king that God gave to Israel. And we'll find that the first sin that Saul did, he wasn't into this 2 years before, amen, he did the sin. See, Israel was in battle again, but they was in a strait. I mean, they was desperate. You ever get desperate? They were desperate. And then Paul was supposed to meet Samuel at a given place at a given time. Well, Saul was there, but Samuel was late. And now they were in a strait. So many times we want to take God's plan and move it into our way. Or do things our way. Well, what did Saul do? He didn't get there on time, so he was desperate. So he told them, "Bring me a sacrifice." And he took this burnt offering and he offered it up to God. And just as soon as he got done with it, in walked Samuel. And Samuel says, "Because of this that you have done, your kingdom will be rent from you." Amen. "Your kingdom will be no more in thy hand." See, we get desperate. We want to do things our way. When things are not working out in the church, well, we'll go a different direction, see if we can make it work. That's when we run into trouble. You know, once we separate Jesus from God, once we separate the two, it gets confusing. It gets very confusing, and I'll try to get to that. But sometimes because we don't receive the things in the world, sometimes because we don't receive riches, we think God's not with us. That could mean that he might very well be with you. Amen. Saul, with his second sin, he was sent out to war against the Amalekites, and Bible said, "Don't spare one. Don't spare any living thing that they have. Don't spare the man. Don't spare the women. Don't spare the children. Don't spare the cattle. Don't spare the sheep." Well, you know, here's the way man looks at it. That's such a waste. So what did they do when they went out? They defeated Amalekites, but they didn't destroy everything. I know that sounds pretty cruel, but one day we'll understand it all better by and by. But right now we just receive God's word as it is by faith, because God is God. We're not God. He is God, and things need to be done His way. I've seen when I first started reading the Bible, I've seen a lot of things that if I didn't have faith, might have turned me off. And that happens to a lot of people. The seed that is planted by the wayside, or a seed that is planted somewhere where they can't get much root. A lot of people, they come into the church and they begin to hear the Word of God, and just because they don't have any root, they're offended by and by the Word of God, and they reject it. So if you see some things you don't understand, just try your best to understand it and know that God has everything in His hand. But Saul, when he got done with the battle, they saved the king, which they were supposed to have destroyed. They saved all the good of the cattle and the sheep. Everything that was good, they kept. Sometimes we want to keep a hold of some of the things of the world that God don't want us to have. And it stunts our growth in God. We can't grow. Amen. We become stagnant. We become like a pool of water that's not running. It just becomes stagnant because it's not moving. And I know that we like the things of the world, and sometimes we put all our trust in the things of the world, but the Bible says you cannot serve mammon and God both. But I want to get on into our lesson today and read again our focus verse. And as He is ahead, this is Colossians 1:18. And as He is ahead of the body, the church is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now, if you saw something in the story that I gave to you, it was man putting himself preeminent. He put himself above the things of God. And when we tend to do that, amen, then when all our troubles begin. It took me a long time to come to the place I am today. God had patience with me, and we got to have patience with other people. Because there's a lot of things can happen in this life, but preeminence is God's glory. Preeminence. He has preeminence over all things. Jesus has preeminence over all things. So we know, amen, that He's God. Amen, because He has everything under His rule, under His hand. He has all authority. God gave Him all authority. Fullness of Godhead dwells bodily in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think God's got to show us things. Well, Jesus Christ, He said He could do nothing except God show Him. It's not like we are. We have this choice. We have either sin or we have righteousness. We can move in either direction. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. What does that mean? He was the first risen from the dead and then risen with a glorified body. Amen. Having forgiven, having made a way of escape for us that are left behind. Amen. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Now, to help you understand that a little bit more, you know that God had sacrifices that He would accept. He accepted blood sacrifices from animals. You know why? Because animals don't know any sin. There's no sin in an animal. He's how he is made naturally. He had no sin. What, could he have yielded to sin? No, sir. He didn't have none. There was no sin in him. God can make the animals that way. God can make a man that way. He did the man Christ Jesus. Amen. There was no sin in him. And the focus thought we must submit ourselves to his authority. He's the only man that ever walked on the face of earth that was without sin. So we have to look to him, amen, as our head, as our leader. He's the first fruits of them that will be raised from the dead. He was the first one. Now we're in a new thing. We're in a new dispensation. We're in a new thing of God, a new creation, if you will. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen.
Got to hurry here.
We must submit to the authority and leadership of Jesus Christ. Well, what about God? He is God, manifested in the flesh. Well, what about the soul of Jesus? It is God, manifested in the flesh. That's who Jesus was. Can't God make him a body? Can it be him? It has to be, because he had to be a perfect sacrifice. I could look over all of this world, everywhere I look, I couldn't find one man worthy to be sacrificed. But I can walk down the street and find an animal, because he has no sin. That would push our sins to a year-by-year thing. It would go up before us, but they had to be, man did the sin and not the animal. It had to be a man. It had to be a flesh sacrifice. Amen. The Word, we know, is our lamp unto our feet. It has everything we need in the Word of God. In the beginning, God created an atmosphere that we could live by, that humans could live, that we could exist. Man's going out through all the everywhere trying to find life. And God's got another life right here. But we was without eternal life. We were lost. Amen. And undone without Jesus Christ, we would still be that way. Amen. But God created an atmosphere that we could live in the flesh. Then God created another atmosphere that we could have life eternal through Christ Jesus. And that's the end. Every beginning has an end except that beginning. It has no end. Because it is God manifested in the flesh, and we are his in his likeness. Jesus Christ is the beginning of our creation, of this new creation that God has made. The first one failed. The Bible says Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived, but Adam, as a type of Christ, came in that Eve might be saved. And Jesus Christ comes in that we might be saved. And he was as perfect as Adam. Amen. Colossians 3:1 says, therefore, if ye be risen with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There comes the confusion. Well, if he was God, how is he sitting down by God? Right hand of power, he had all power and authority. Jesus Christ was God here, and Jesus Christ is God up there with his glorified body. Otherwise, you would never see God. He is an invisible spirit, but he manifested himself in the flesh. And he is God Almighty. When I get up there, I'm not going to see a little Jesus sitting by a big God. I'm going to see the glorified body of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be God. That is God. God came, manifested himself in the flesh. And the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. How much plainer can that be? The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. It's a glorified body sitting at the right hand of the image of the invisible God. Jesus has preeminence over all things. For it pleased the Father that in him, that glorified body should be for all fullness dwell. God, Jesus Christ, was the image of, was God manifested in the flesh, the image of God Almighty. He was here as God. He sacrificed his body, amen, his only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm begotten of my Father. He begot 9 others too. 9 other boys. But Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. Jesus Christ began the day of his conception, the day that he was born. Amen. He became, amen, our sacrifice, the flesh. We say Jesus sit at the right hand of the Father. And then one of the disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father. He said, you've been with me this long, and you don't know me? When you see me, you see the Father. Jesus did it all. Jesus' glorified body in heaven is still the image of the invisible God. See, God had no image before. He's not one of the gods, not God the Son, not God the Holy Ghost. He is a God manifested in the flesh, the invisible God. Amen. And he will be up in heaven when we get there, or when he comes down to dwell upon the earth for 1,000 years. Is he going to come in a body of flesh? Is he going to come in a glorified body? Well, that'll be up to him. That's another lesson. But I know he's going to come. Colossians 1 and 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should the all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him. Now you say, what was the difference between Jesus Christ, the man, and us? If you haven't got that yet, I think you will have before I'm done, but what did it say here? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What dwelled in Jesus Christ but God? I'm going to read something to you. John 5 and 19. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Now I'm going to give you a little example of man. See what we got dwelling within us. But you'll never find this nowhere about Jesus Christ. Romans 7, 20. If I do that I would not, it is no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, that's our difference. Verse 21. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. How many ever experienced that? Amen. But what does Jesus Christ have dwelling in him? The fullness of the Godhead. That makes him much, much different than us. Because you know what? He didn't need a Savior. Amen. He was a perfect lamb. The perfect lamb of God. What did man look for when he sacrificed an animal? They looked for one without spot or without blemish. If Jesus could be said about Jesus, the same thing that said within me, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. If that was said about Jesus, we'd need another sacrifice. If you brought one to them back in that day, that wasn't perfectly white, amen, without any blemish. You take that one back and you get another. But you know, Jesus Christ, he made himself, he revealed who he is. When Satan tried to tempt him, all he ever gave him back was the Word of God. He just gave him back the Word. He just gave him right back the Word and back the Word. Amen. But we know that Jesus Christ is our perfect sacrifice. I could sacrifice my son. That wouldn't be good enough. I could sacrifice anything that's really, really close to me, but it wouldn't be enough. Go back and I want to read one verse of Scripture. I think I passed it up. Okay, 1 Samuel 15, 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You know your stubbornness was idolatry. We want to see idolatry as something we can look at and choose to pass by if we want to, which you can. But it's not a statue. Could be, but not altogether. Here it's called stubbornness as idolatry. The things that we put before God, the things that we will not turn from, they become an idol to us. Stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. See, we can reject the things of God. And we can get into a collusion with the devil. Eve got into a collusion with the devil. Amen. They come to an agreement. Satan was right. There wasn't nothing wrong with that. He said, after all, thou shalt not surely die. And some people think that all they have to do is come to a little thought of God, and that's enough. Amen. But there's a way that God planned for us to be saved. And it made it plain in the book of Acts. Men and brethren, Acts 2 and 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. That's what we must do. Now, we can do like old Saul did. We can look for another way. We can be a little bit frustrated with God, and we can turn and go another way. But the word don't turn and go with you. We have one word, and God has given us that word. Book of Colossians 1 and 20, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Amen. God has preeminence. And if we take and change the word of God to suit ourselves, we're counting ourselves preeminent. We're the one with the preeminence, because we know better than he knows. We're going to do it our way. Remember this, if you don't remember anything else, that please the Father, that in him all fullness shall dwell. And I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. You know why? Because my father was sin. But God, our Father, he no sin. He don't know any sin. And Mary was the incubator. Amen. And Jesus became the only begotten Son of the Father. In other words, he was the only one born of woman where God was the Father. Jesus came into being, amen, when he let out that first quill the day that he was born. Amen. He was going to be God manifested in the flesh. And maybe we can't understand it, because we can say, how can he not have sin? Amen. But Jesus Christ was a perfect sacrifice, and I give my all. I'll be careful, I'll be lying up here. I try to do my best, amen. But I know I don't give my all. You know, God knows that too. But I'm still covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice. And when he looks at me, he looks through that precious blood, and he sees me as white as snow. Amen. If I don't take that, if I don't take that as my way out, there is no other way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's no escape. The only escape that was made was in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And his blood applied. Even back in the Old Testament, they applied the blood to the doorposts before the Exodus. That blood was applied, amen, and they walked out safely. Only the ones that the blood was applied to. Others tried to come another way. Oh, Pharaoh and his army, they tried to go in that way that God had made for the children of Israel. He split that water wide open that they might walk through it. You have to come through the blood. You have to come through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Now that's just These things are my opinion. But you know what? You have to look in the Word for your own. Because if you take me, my Word, then I'm preeminent. But you take the Word of God, what He gives you, and that's what we go by. In Jesus' name, that's all I have today. I thank you for listening. But turn it over now to Brother Willis.
How great.
Why don't you stand?
Is our God?
Sing with me.